Sister Melissa, thank you for a beautiful, powerful special.
Amen.
Taken directly from the Word of God, from the teaching of Jesus. How special. I spoke about prayer last week and will continue to this morning. She asked me last Sunday, she said, "You want me to sing the Lord's Prayer?" And I said, "Well, absolutely, you know." Absolutely. Folk, we have so much in prayer. How important is the Bible to you as we live in the perilous times of the last days? Folk, I pray the last two or three messages and the next couple of messages will stress to us the importance of the Bible.
Amen.
You know, we've been commanded by God to pray. We've talked about that. We've seen the importance of prayer. And folk, prayer is talking to God. It's talking to God. It doesn't have to be difficult. It's not something that is just for those that reach a certain spiritual plateau in their life. Folk, I'm telling you, we all need prayer in our life. And it is very important. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 again. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now last week I got to the place where we were studying the value of God's Word. And we looked at that. And we found, as we look at the value, and remember this, the value of God's Word is immeasurable. You can't put a value on it. It is invaluable. It's just beyond our measuring. Now, we today, we can put a price on everything. We put a value on a lot of things, and some things are very, very valuable in life. But none compare to the Word of God. Read with me 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's back up and look at a little of the text that I started with about 3 weeks ago. But start with verse number 1. Paul's talking to Timothy, who is a young preacher. And he's encouraging him and he is teaching him. I pray for that exact same thing as I preach these messages. That we will indeed be encouraged and that we will be taught. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Frightening times. Difficult times. Times that are overwhelming and discouraging. Folk, I believe with all my heart, this is a deep conviction. This is not an idea. This is not just my thinking, but it is a deep conviction. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last of the last days. And folk, we are living in the midst of perilous times that are only going to grow worse until Jesus comes. Verse 10. Keeping in mind the perilous times of the last days that we live in. Paul goes on and he says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is rampant in our religious world today. But then he tells us to do this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Not just from the Apostle Paul, but from the other apostles and from Jesus himself. And those things that from a child thou hast known, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to present your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching grace, and I pray for that this morning. God, I pray today, just now, that you'll remove every hindrance, you'll rebuke Satan, and you'll set aside every distraction. And Lord, today that we will each and every one open our hearts and our minds, that we will today just be encouraged and filled with hope and learn the importance and the value of your word. And Lord, we praise you for it. Thank you for those that have come again, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The trials and difficulties of life, the things that are going on around about us today, the horrors of some of the things that have happened. You know, just yesterday had a horrendous earthquake in Morocco. I think the death toll is well over 2,000, and they probably have found just a small number of those. You say, well, that, you know, that's terrible, but that doesn't affect us. No, but it's a part of God's plan. It's a part of God's permissive will. Folk, I'm telling you what, it's the main thing on the mind of the people in that part of the world today. The things that we see in our everyday life, the things that we see going on around about us, we used to think of crime, we used to think of sin, we used to think of atrocities in the big major cities of our nation. Folk, it's right around the corner. It's all about us today. Those are those perilous times. Paul told Timothy that the Word of God has everything we need to be perfect, not sinlessly perfect, but perfect, complete, and full, having everything we need, that we will be thoroughly, completely furnished with the things that we need for the good works of our Christian life that he has for us today. We began looking last week at the value. The value. Paul says that the Word of God is profitable. The word profitable carries with it the idea of being useful, beneficial, instructive, advantageous. Let me encourage you today to take that to heart. Folk, it is advantageous to you to know, to read, to study, to learn, to embrace, to practice, to share the Word of God. And all of the things that I just talked about, and all of the trials and the things that are going on, those perilous times that we live in, folk, we have a source that we can go to find the hope and the consolation and the courage and the strength and the grace to go through those things, and that source is God. And our resource, there's a little difference there, our resource to God is the Word of God. And that's why I want us to continue this morning to look at the value, the profitability, the beneficial nature, the usefulness, the instructive nature and the advantageous things of the Word of God. Now, we preachers preach all the time about encouraging you to study the Word, to learn the Word, to know the Word. He tells us all the time to, you know, we tell you all the time, read your Bibles, read your Bibles. I'll assure you, I stress that this morning again and again and again, and I always will as long as I preach. Because, folk, this is the hope. This is the resource. This is the place where we can find hope in hopeless situations. We can find a peace in the midst of fear. We can find a calmness in the midst of turmoil. We can find the love of God in a world filled with hatred. It's here for us today. We looked last week at how the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the things that God would have us to know and do. And we also looked at one of the places that we can learn about how to pray, and that was the Lord's Prayer that Sister Melissa sang so beautifully a few minutes ago. Folk, listen, you can do it. I skimmed the surface of that last week and looked at broke that down a little bit. An extensive study of that for a few weeks would show us the depth of what Jesus was teaching us. Now, we call that the Lord's Prayer, and it was a prayer of Jesus, but it was a prayer that was given to teach us. It's a model prayer. It's a teaching prayer of how to do it. Folk, we got to, first and foremost, our Father who art in heaven, you got to go to the right source. We have to hallow His name, reverence and respect Him, even as we come boldly into His throne. We have to pray to Him for His kingdom to come. I tell you, I'm ready for Jesus to come. But until He does, I pray that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Lord, but we also know that as the world continues on to the coming of Jesus, that it's going to wax worse and worse. We know that we must pray for forgiveness and for our daily bread, for the things that we need every day. We'll talk more about praying for forgiveness in just a moment. All of those things, and we can do that with hope. We can do that with assurance. We can do that with confidence because it is His power, His glory that endureth forever and forever. The value of the Bible. The value of the Bible. How important is the Bible? Folk, again, I don't believe that we can ever put a value on it because it is, you know, it's invaluable. There are things in the world, artworks, precious gems, diamonds, various other jewels. They are considered priceless, because you can't, there's no way to put a price on those because they are so supposedly valuable. I've seen pieces of art that to me, and I may not have as good appreciation for art as some, I've seen pieces of art that are considered priceless. Looks like Harrison had done it. He's a pretty good artist now, don't get me wrong, okay? But there, folk, that's not priceless. Somebody would buy that. Somebody would have the money for that. But folk, let me tell you what. Money can't buy what we find in this Word of God. Now, money can buy you a copy of the Word of God. You can get them fairly inexpensively. But you can't buy. You can't put a value on what is in it. And so today, we look at the value of the Bible. And as we look at the value of the Bible, I want us to this morning look at some things that that can be expected when we pray in the way that God would have us to pray. Now, there are right and wrong ways to pray. There are things involved in praying properly that God can and will hear and answer our prayers. as I preface that by saying, folks, it's not theologically complex. It's not spiritually difficult. It is talking again, talking to God, reverently and respectfully, openly and honestly. When the need is there, whatever it is, tell God. If it's fear, tell God. God, I am afraid. God, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. If it's a heartache and a burden, tell Him. God, this is it's just tearing my heart out, God. God, help me with this. If it's praise and worship, and that ought to be a big part of our prayer, we ought to just thank God, praise the Lord. God, thank You for what we have. Thank You for what is ours. Thank You for Your blessings. Name those blessings. Don't forget, I always encourage you at Thanksgiving time, will this year, find a time around Thanksgiving, might want to do it more often than that, where you offer a prayer to God and you just thank Him for the blessings and the end of it. Call Him by name, those things, and don't ask Him for anything. If you'll be very humble and honest, give yourself plenty of time because there'll be a lot to say.
Amen.
Thank God. But what can we expect when we pray to God? What can we expect when we talk to God and He hears and He answers our prayers? Listen to just a few things, and I'm not going into a lot of detail on these, but listen to just a few things that we can find when we pray to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing." The wording there is kind of old English. Don't worry about anything. You say, "Brother Sid, that's hard to do." Agreed. Don't worry about anything. There's that fine line between proper concern about something and worry about something. And boy, sometimes that fine line's hard to find, and it's hard not to go over into the worry. Boy, I thank God I'm far better about it than I used to be. But he says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Find it here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. You notice, and here's a little quick lesson to help you better understand. You notice, if we might say that, we use the compound word everything, where the two words are put together to make one word. In the translation from the Greek, and this is an accurate translation, notice in that verse, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. That is not a compound word. That is a divided word. And that adds emphasis and strength to what he is saying. Not just in everything, but in everything. Everything. He tells us, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that praise we talked about, let your request be made known unto God. And here is one of the things we can expect and anticipate and look forward to when we do that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We live in a world of turmoil. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of anarchy. We live in a world where there is political unrest. There are wars, rumors of wars. I believe Jesus mentioned that, talking about His coming, Matthew 24 and 5. There are all of those things that are unsettling. There are all of those things that just are always there around us and even in the back of our mind. And there are things going on in our individual personal lives that have just gotten our lives in a state of turmoil and unrest and just so much. Folks, listen, what we need today is some peace. But there's only one place that we're going to find it. Folk, you're not going to find it in government, politics, political powers. You're not going to find it in the next election. You're not going to find it in diplomacy, because that's never worked. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. You're going to find it in God, and you're going to find it in God through your prayer life. You're going to pray. You know, sometimes someone will say, well, and I've said it, well, we're going to be praying for you. You know, that's really all I can do. What else could I do? What more can I do? Folk, listen, yes, pray for one another. You pray for yourself. You pray about your situation. You pray with thanksgiving. You pray with your prayer and supplication in the Lord, and you pray to God, and may, your prayer may need to get me just simply, Lord, I need some peace in this time of turmoil and trial that I'm going through today. Now, he may not take that trial and turmoil away. He might. Ask him to. But he'll give you a peace that passes understanding. And folk, let me tell you, not to boast, but there's been a time or two in life when I had that peace, and I am glad for it. I needed that peace. So we can find peace when we are in turmoil. Now, here's something. It is a very profound statement. And I'm glad Jesus made it and I didn't. What can we expect when we pray? Whatever we ask for. Listen to what John tells us, Jesus tells us in the book of John, in John chapter 15, verse 7. Now, he qualifies this, okay? John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you, he's talking to his followers, if you abide in me, the word abide carries with it the idea of being attached to. Being attached to. If you abide in me, like the branch and the tree trunk and the branch, that branch is dependent upon being abiding in the trunks, being attached to it. Jesus says, if you abide in me, in my word, the word of God that we're preaching about, the Bible, in our prayer life, folk, listen, the Bible is our resource for prayer. It tells us how to pray, why to pray, when to pray, what to pray for. And that's what we're talking about. He says, if you abide in me, Jesus, and I abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, again, Jesus said that, I didn't, okay? You mean I can ask for anything? When you ask properly and within the will of God, He's going to hear and answer your prayer. Now, some skeptics will say, well, I've prayed and didn't get what I asked for. Well, take that up with God, okay? Listen to what he says over in the book of Mark. I love this passage of Scripture. It's encouraging. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus is speaking again. What can we expect when we pray? How do we know what to expect when we pray? We go to the resource, the Bible. How important is the Bible? In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 22, listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus saith unto them, he's talking to the apostles, have faith in God. Faith is an absolute essential when it comes to prayer. Faith is an absolute essential when it comes to the Word of God. Faith is an absolute essential because Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, that's the opposite of doubt, is the opposite of faith, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Listen to this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Jesus in the Lord's Prayer taught us to pray for our daily bread. That's what he taught us. So we can have peace. We can have the things in life that we need. We can have the things that God would have us to have when we pray and we ask for those things. Now, always remember this. Sometimes we pray for a loved one that needs to be saved. Maybe we pray for a loved one who is in a backslidden condition. Maybe we pray for a loved one or something going on and it entails someone else. Now, there has to be a willingness on their part. You pray that God will soften their heart. You pray that God will touch their heart. You pray that God will do something in some way to get them to see their need and to do what they need to do. And then you pray, God, I pray that my loved one will get back in your service. I pray that, Lord, you know, but there has to be a receptive, from the receptiveness to the conviction that the Holy Spirit is going to put on that person because of your prayer. But you pray that. Something else that we can find that's very, very important when we pray. As children of God, we can find forgiveness when we pray. 1 John 1:9, written to Christians. If you make application of this to salvation, that is a secondary application. 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folk, you say, well, I've been saved. My sins are forgiven. I've been saved. Folk, your sin debt has been paid. Your sin, singular, your sin nature has been saved. But we still have that sin nature. Therefore, we sin every day. Every one of us. Now, I know all you folks, y'all good folks, all right? I know you're not vile reprobates. But folk, listen, we sin every day. And every day we need to come before the Lord and we need to confess our sin. Pray every day, Lord, forgive me of this. I talked about last week, you know, be specific when you pray. All right, it's okay to kind of summarize and, Lord, just forgive me of all my sin. But you know what? When that comes to your mind, Lord, forgive me for that ungodly thought. Lord, forgive me for that lacking when I should have done something. Forgive, whatever. But folk, when we pray that prayer, we will find that forgiveness. And that forgiveness will be a renewal. It will be an encouragement. It will help us to not do that sin again. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, forgive me for that evil that I have thought today. And Lord, keep that thought from me. Help me to not yield to that temptation. Keep me pure. Keep me in your sight, acceptable in all things. We'll find forgiveness. We'll find forgiveness. And folk, let me tell you how important it is that we as children of God are forgiven when it comes to our prayer life, which takes us from the resource that God is teaching us about prayer into the very source, and that being God Himself. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah teaches us there. He says, God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. And by the way, just let's stop right there for a second. We'll get back to this prayer in just a minute. God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Why is it that there seems to be so few people that are truly saved in the world today? I think there are two primary reasons. Two primary reasons. One is they're just rejecting Christ. They don't want to be saved. They're not willing to be saved. Another, I think, important factor is that they're not hearing it enough from Christians. They're not hearing it enough from you and me. They're not hearing the message of salvation adequately, and so they're not being saved. But the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And it also goes on to say, nor is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. The next verse goes on to say, but your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have caused him to come to a place where he will not hear. Folks, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, God is not obligated to hear and answer our prayers. Isaiah the prophet, writing under the inspiration of God, told us that. Folks, that's why forgiveness is so vitally important. That's why we must have that desire to pray. That's why we must ask God. I think every prayer ought to begin with, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, forgive me of this. Get me in a position for my prayers to be heard and answered. Pray today. Here's probably the most important thing that one can receive through prayer. And if this applies to you, let today be the day you pray this prayer, and that is a prayer of salvation. For the lost person, now, there's great debate and great discussion among theologians and everybody about whether or not a lost person can pray and God will hear his prayer. All right? We're not going to debate that this morning. But I know this, that when that lost person prays a prayer of repentance and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, God will hear and answer that prayer. Every time. And that's the most important prayer you're ever going to pray. Now, the others are vital. They're important. They're so essential. But folk, listen, praying that prayer of repentance and asking Christ to be your personal Savior is the most important prayer you'll ever pray, because it's the most important decision you'll ever make. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, if you don't know for certain that you'd go to heaven if you were to die today, I pray that this morning will be the time that you pray that prayer of repentance. And listen, we need to stress this. That's not a hard prayer to pray. There's not a set prayer to pray. Now, there's what some people call the sinner's prayer, and you can help some with that. I use this with kids sometimes, is if they're old enough to understand and such, ask God tell God you know you're a sinner, ask him to forgive your sin, and tell them you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's really that simple. But you know, I think about the old thief on the cross, on the right hand of Jesus. Folk, I'm telling you, that man was saved as he was dying on that cross. And you know what his prayer was? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, well, that don't sound like a prayer of repentance. That was that man's prayer of repentance. And I know it was, because Jesus responded immediately and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Folk, the prayer of salvation. The prayer of salvation. Today, we need to pray. Not just for what we can receive from it, but yet, praying because we want the things that God has for us and wants for us. And I encourage you to do today to pray. And here is something I hope that will help you to see the value of prayer and the teaching about prayer that we get from the Word of God, that shows us that we must, in the last days, in the perilous times, that we must look to God through prayer and into his word, that we might find that hope, that peace, that joy, that forgiveness, those things that we need every day of our life. It's prayer, prayer, prayer. Folks, listen, I said last week, as a child of God, there will always be a lacking in your spirituality if you're not praying. You'll never be all you could be, should be. You'll never have everything God wants you to have until you begin to pray. How often should you pray? I've already covered this. You pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you spend 24 hours a day in prayer. That just means that you make it a very much part of your life, your lifestyle. You pray every time, all the time, every time. You may have a set time every day that you pray. That's a good thing. You may have a time when you're just suddenly, something happens, some calamity happens, and the first thing you think of, I'm pray to God. You know, whatever it might be. And here is a great example for us in prayer. And that is the fact that Jesus prayed all the time. Jesus prayed. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was God. Jesus is the authority by whom we can pray and enter into the throne room of God Himself. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. That is acceptable and proper terminology to use as you pray, beginning, closing a prayer. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name this morning by His authority, because He's told us that we could. He purchased our privilege of prayer when He purchased our salvation, when He purchased the church, when He gave His life on Calvary. He provided that. He authorized us to pray in His name. By His name, we can enter into the throne room of God. Amen. You know, I always use this as an illustration. It's becoming more and more one that's not very good. But if you want an audience with the President of the United States, you better know somebody. Because if you don't, you will never get it. I know somebody and I can get an audience with God anytime, anywhere, about anything. Because I know Jesus. And He has given me an open-ended authorization to talk to the Father. And folk, listen, when you talk to the Father and you go to the source through the resource and from what we have about prayer, folk, let me tell you what, it'll get you way yonder down the road further than anybody you could ever find in this world. We need to pray. Jesus prayed. Why did Jesus need to pray? There are those that will ask that question. Why did Jesus need to pray? You claim He's God. You claim He's the Son of God. Why did He need to pray? Because, folk, He was in the flesh. He was dealing with the temptations just as we deal with them. Yet He did it without sin, praise the Lord. Made Him an acceptable sacrifice. But He had the trials and the difficulties. You can read over, and I'm not going to turn there, but you can read over in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 through 44. This is just literally a very short time, a very few hours, maybe within a couple of hours, of when He was going to be arrested and put through the mockery of a trial, and the next day He would be executed. You know what He did? He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and up the Mount of Olives through the little Kidron Valley with these apostles. He just had the Last Supper with them. And He went into that valley and He told some of them to sit here. He took some a little closer and He said, you stay here and you watch and pray. I'm going to go further into the garden. And you know what He did when He got in there by Himself? He talked to the Father. He prayed about what was about to happen. He knew it had to happen. He knew that He was willing for it to happen. But He said, if there's any way, let this cup pass from Me, because He knew what He was about to go through physically, and it was going to be horrendous. He prayed. Came back and looked at found the apostles. Watch it. You guys stay here and watch and pray. They're asleep. Woke them up, kind of scolded them, told them to do it again. Same thing happened. Jesus Christ prayed before every major event in His life. You go back in the beginning and in Matthew chapter 4, you find Jesus there. He's been in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and He went there in preparation for His earthly ministry. You know what He did during that 40 days and night for the most part? He prayed. He talked to the Father. He talked to His Heavenly Father because He was in the flesh. The opportunity as they were together in heaven had been temporarily changed because now He's on earth, God's in heaven. But folk, listen, He didn't let that stop His communication with the Father. He prayed. You want to read? I love the Lord's Prayer. I love to hear it sang. I love to read it. I love to teach it. Folk, you want to see a beautiful prayer? You go home today and read John chapter 17. Because there Jesus prays. That is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prays. That whole chapter is a prayer of Jesus. And he prays for himself because he knows about what's about to happen. And it's just before the crucifixion. He prays for his followers that were there with him at that particular time. And praise God, he even prays for you and me in that prayer. Folk, if Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. Let him be our example. We speak of the phrase, I think it's Peter that said, you know, we should follow his steps. We talk about baptism. One of the reasons that we are baptized is to follow the example of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, to follow his encouragement, his teaching, and his example in observing the Lord's Supper. We follow Christ. We need to follow him. Folks, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed for the sick. Jesus prayed for the demon-possessed. He also touched them and healed them, and praise God for that. But he prayed for them. He prayed for his apostles all the time. He prayed for you and me. He's still at the right hand of God today, making intercession on our behalf. I love intercessory prayer. That's mostly what our prayer list is about. Praying for somebody else because of their needs this morning. You say, well, does that really do any good? I'm promising you that does good. I'll promise you, if you don't think so, read the last chapter or so of the book of James. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is our resource. Folk, today, as a child of God, you need desperately to maintain a regular, consistent prayer life in everything that we do, praying about everything. Nothing is too insignificant for prayer. Praying for others, praying, you know, I always say you pray for your church. Two aspects of that: pray for your church as an institution, pray for your church as praying for one another. Not necessarily just those on the prayer list. You don't let a day pass, you don't pray for them. And you know, here's something else about prayer. Sometimes I think we try to, and let me be careful here, make it too spiritual. Folk, listen. You get alone with God and it's your personal private prayer time. Don't forget, before he gave us that Lord's Prayer, he told us to go into our closet and close the door so we're not disrupted and interrupted. And you pray. And then he told us how to pray. Folk, listen. We need to pray like that today. And when we do, Let us pray and talk to God and ask God, make that a part of it. But folk, listen, you pray for one another. You pray for one another. I mentioned every Wednesday night, come on Wednesday night, we spend half our service talking about the prayer needs and praying for them. And to me, it's one of the best parts of our church services, praying for one another. Right at the top of your list, your prayer list, it says pray for your church, pray for church growth, pray for your pastor. I really want you to pray for me, that I'll be the pastor that this church needs, that you need. I'll be the pastor. But folk, we need to pray for those that are on our prayer list. We need to pray for them. And back to not trying to be too theological or whatever when I'm praying, get your prayer list. Mine's laying over there. Get your prayer list and look at it. You say, well, I can't remember everybody on the prayer list. Take it in your prayer closet with you. Take it in there and look at that prayer list. And you look there and you see Sister Janice's name. You say, Lord, Sister Janice is having some serious health issues. I pray that you'll give her what she needs. I pray that you'll send her where she can find help. Lord, I pray that you'll touch her body and you'll heal her body. You go a little further down, just using today as an illustration, and you'll find there that Sister Christy Anderson's stepmother has passed away. Pray for her. Not her stepmother. That's all between her and God now. But you pray for Christy. Pray for Christy's dad. I've never met the man. That's okay. He needs our prayers this morning. Look at that prayer list, each one of them individually. You'll know the need, and if you don't, pray for it that way. When you read that top line, it says unknown. Lord, be with the unknown burdens that are in our church family. Pray, pray, pray. That's what we got to do. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. It shows me the importance of prayer, the need of prayer, the nature of prayer, how to pray, why to pray, when to pray. It teaches us that. That's how important the Bible is to us. And folks, if ever we had a time where we need to be praying, it's in the perilous times of the last days. Folks, we better pray for our church. And we better pray for others who are doing the Lord's work in the right way. Because it's going to become more and more and more difficult all the time. It's going to become so difficult and trying all the time. Folks, we got to pray. We must pray. And when we do, oh, what we will see and find and have. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you again, if you were to die today, God forbid, but if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven?